This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler and Litchfield, and by Hawkeye Steel, Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Build it to last. Build it with steel. Closing prices on the Chicago Board of Trade on Thursday: September corn at 818 and a quarter, up 7.5. December corn 823 and 3/4, up 7.25. September wheat closed at 913, up 13 3/4. December at 927, up 13.5. September oats 389.5, up 13 3/4. December oats 385.5, up 8 1/4. August soybeans 1694.5, up 64.5. September beans 1654 3/4, up 54 3/4. November beans at 1631 1/4, up 50. August soybean meal 538.70, up 16.80. September 519.70, up 19.60. And October 502, up 17.60. And August soybean oil closed at 52.39, up 81. September at 52.59, up 80. October at 52.79, up 81. Now to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Thursday afternoon, with soybean futures sharply higher. The stronger soybean market was supported by export news on Thursday. First, it was confirmed that the U.S. had sold 165,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China for the 2012-2013 crop year. Also, weekly export sales figures were at the high end of traders' expectations at 300,400 tons. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 5 to 9 cents stronger at 802 to 816. Soybeans advanced 48 to 50 cents at 1639 to 1659. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 7 cents stronger at 817 to 832. Soybeans gained 50 to 55 cents at 1658 to 1683. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 7 to 8 cents at 807 to 848. Soybeans gained 50 to 55 cents at 1656 to 1671. And wheat bids gained 13 cents at 886 to 913. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents stronger at 812 to 814. Soybeans gained 60 to 66 cents, ranging from 1684 to 1693. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery up 15 cents at 807 to 817. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 6 cents stronger at 817 to 818. These same elevators also raised their soybean prices by 55 cents, with quotations at 1686 to 1691. Soft red winter wheat up 14 cents at 886 to 887, while the Milo ended 6 cents stronger at 727 to 728. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from 790 to 817. New crop soybean bids at 1596 to 1615. And in central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 802 to 831. New crop soybean bids at 1605 to 1626. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 810 up to 837, new crop soybean bids at 1603 to 1636, and the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery that range from 778 up to 827. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Jerry. And checking our hog ink prices today: corn delivered to Greenfield, August corn, $8.31, September, $8.24. For August corn delivered to Scottville, $8.23, September to Scottville, $8.24. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, August, $16.63, September, $16.18. Wheat delivered to Scottville for August, $8.52. Call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888 for more information. Again, the pre-opening prices: corn at Greenfield, $8.31, corn at Scottville, $8.23, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $16.63, and wheat at Scottville, $8.52. Closing prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle closed at 121.42 off 42. October at 125.77 up 10. December 128.50 up 35. August feeder cattle closed at 139.10 off 67. September 139.47 off 82. And October at 140.50 off 95. August lean hogs at 91.87 up 30. October lean hogs 75.95 up 32. December lean hogs at 73.47 off 15. Back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture, this time for the cash livestock report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, August 9th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels and gilts closed $3.79 lower. Carcass base price range 81.5 to 91. Weighted average 85.10. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 9,400 head. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade steady, 55 to 60, with Illinois direct slaughter sow steady to dollar higher. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds from 24 to 28. 450 to 550 pounds at 26 to 30. Over 550 pounds at 28 to 33. Today's estimated receipts, 950, and Wednesday's actuals, 1,550. Pork carcass cutout, 92.80, and that is up 32 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today 409,000, last week 405,000, a year ago 411,000, week to date of 1,586,000. Cattle for today 123,000, last week 126,000, a year ago 128,000, week to date of 504,000. Box beef cutout values were higher on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 139 fabulos with 50 trim. Choice, 182.52, that is up $1.10. Select at 176.63, and that is up $1.28. At the Schuyler Livestock Auction over at Rushville, 288 head sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $2 higher, with slaughter cows and bulls steady, feeder cattle steady in a light test. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, sold from 111 to 116.75. Couple high dressing, 118 to 118.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 102 to 107.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 110 to 115.25. Slaughter cows, breaking type, 81.5 to 85.5. High dressing at 87.5 to 90. Boning type cows at 70.75 to 72.5. Lean cows at 67 to 69.75, with slaughter bulls, your grade ones, at 89 to 93.5, high dressing 94.25 to 102. At the Walnut Livestock Auction, opening report, estimated receipts of 376. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers, $5 lower in a light test. Steers, choice 2s to 3s at 112 to 118.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s from $1 to $1.04.25. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 112.75 to 117.25. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, so far for Thursday, trading in the Southern Plains in Colorado was at a standstill. Thursday afternoon, trading in Nebraska was limited on light demand, not enough sales for a market trend. Iowa, Minnesota, Thursday afternoon, trading has been slow on light demand, not enough sales to establish a trend. As well, a few early dress sales at 190. Negotiated sales week to date of 19,900. Wednesday at the Real Hay Auction, 380 bells sold. Compared to last week, hay sold steady to 75 cents higher. Alfalfa, premium quality small squares from $7 to $8 and good quality at $7. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, premium quality small squares sold at $7. Clover, mixed grass, good quality small squares at $6.75. Mixed grass, good quality. Large rounds, 5x5s at $100, and 4x5s from $60 to $65. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
And that's it for part one of the Morning Farm Show, presented by Hawkeye Steel, Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Build it to last. Build it with steel. By Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Street in Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Get a tire with stopping power and some extra spending money. Just drop by your local Michelin dealer from August 9th through September 3rd and buy any set of four Michelin brand passenger or light truck tires and get a $70 prepaid card after rebate.
Taylor Tire and Auto on the west side of Tyler Street in Litchfield has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level.
See redemption form at participating dealers for complete offer details. Offer expires 9/3/2012. Void where prohibited.
Radar weather brought to you by M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Right now we have a little cloud cover as this cold front continues to clear through the Midwest, and later today we will have partly sunny skies and a high temperature of about 80. Clear tonight, low 55. Sunshine, 85 tomorrow. Clear Saturday night, low 60. Cloudy on Sunday, high of 85. And a 40% chance of rain for Sunday night with a low of 68. Dry for Monday and Tuesday. A slight chance of rain again Wednesday, Thursday. Highs in the 80s, lows in the 60s. Right now, though, and again, cloud cover here at the Weather Center. The barometric pressure rising. Winds are northwest to 10 and 64 degrees at the Weather Center. This update brought to you by M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor & Soap's Tea Room and Gift Shop in Mount Olive. In farm news earlier this week, WSMI's Tim Mize talked with M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Brink said, just like the corn and soybeans, the forage has paid the price from the drought.
Obviously, there's not much growth there either. I saw a producer, harvesting some alfalfa a couple days ago. It was full bloomed, which means it should be cut, but there is very little biomass out there whatsoever. But this kind of heat and drought is not going to kill an alfalfa plant. An alfalfa plant has a deep taproot, so it'll survive. Once we get good growing conditions, it should come out pretty well. So that's not a concern. But the amount of tonnage is a concern. Again, some producers are talking about cutting soybeans. I know of a dairy producer that's, considering this and probably will here in the next week or so. And we have a wide window to harvest soybeans for hay. As long as the soybean plant is still green, until it starts turning color or dropping leaves, we don't lose a lot of nutrient content in that plant. So we can wait until, well potted, until half the pods have a seed in them before we cut the soybeans for hay. So we've got a wide window. We can wait and see what happens with the other sources of hay.
How would you rate the quality of soybean hay?
Actually, it's pretty good. Keep in mind that soybean many years ago was introduced in this country as a forage crop. So, it can be compared to good grass hay, somewhere around 15% protein, maybe a little bit higher in some cases if it's put upright. So it's good quality if we can harvest the leaves. That's where the nutrients are. And that becomes very tricky when you cut soybeans and they start drying, the leaves drop off pretty rapidly. So you need to watch that. You need to get those leaves harvested for to obtain the nutrients in the plant. So it's very tricky, but it can be very good quality hay.
M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Sam Hudson from Water Street Solutions talked with WSMI this week. Sam said the future price of soybeans depends on what happens in South America.
I've seen a significant increase in meal demand over the last few months to the U.S. A lot of that's coming, you know, off the back end from South America that they cannot take care of. One thing to think about is what we could see for acres in South America next year, and we're looking right now at about an 8% jump compared to last year on South American soybean acres, and that's the largest one-year jump in about 10 years. So you're going to have people considering that fact, and I think that's why these spreads have gone out of control. You see March of 2013, you know, just above $15, where the nearby is 16+. So I think that rationing occurs up front, and after we get a crop out of South America, I think you'll see prices subside a little bit. But if they start to have production issues, it's anyone's guess on how far this bean market could go. I still think $20 would be within the realm of possibility, but you have to have some other things occur first, because right now we definitely are doing some rationing, but we still see some bean sales. We confirmed a sale to China just yesterday, so as long as they're still being purchased and there's still that demand there, we got to keep the price levels at least high or maybe even higher from where we're at right now.
Hudson said the dry conditions have made some think twice about contracting too far ahead.
I think that's why a lot of people are a little bit leery of doing some forward contracting, because of the dry conditions, what we've seen. We came into this year with a soil profile that wasn't fully charged, and next year could be even worse if we don't get any significant rains over the fall months and have a wet winter. But I would definitely encourage a producer to opt out for some hedges in an upfront month, whether that's December or March, if you want to protect that price. It's definitely worth protecting, especially where inputs are going to be. You got to be able to lock in that cost of production. But to go out here and forward contract everything, I think, is a little bit of a risk with what we know right now. If a guy was going to do that, he just got to be ready to re-own something if we have some trouble next spring.
Sam Hudson from Water Street Solutions. The U.S. pork industry insists that U.S. trade officials will not sacrifice its interests in a long-running dispute with Taiwan over pork and beef treated with the leanness additive ractopamine. The National Pork Producers Council recently stepped up the pressure on top U.S. officials to insist Taiwan relax its ban on pork imports treated with ractopamine, the same way Taiwan's now preparing to do so for beef imports. The U.S. Trade Representative's office has not said publicly if it intends to demand the same treatment for pork, to which NPPC Trade Chief Nick Giordano adds,
I think USTR is being sensitive to the political situation of Taiwan, which is that the beef industry in Taiwan is small and the pork industry is big. In fact, the pork industry is the biggest sector of Taiwanese agriculture, and they're the ones with the political clout.
Giordano says the U.S. is reluctant to antagonize Taipei right after the decision on the beef, but its position is still that the ban for pork is unacceptable, and many in Congress will agree with that. So, will the U.S. go to bat for pork in the way it has for beef?
It's going to be a slap in the face to the U.S. pork industry if the largest pork exporter in the world, the United States, and U.S. pork producers are told, sorry, the political pressure that Taiwanese pork producers wield in Taipei and throughout the country is too strong for us to get this problem fixed. We don't want to hear that.
Giordano says Taiwan reported to the WTO maximum residue levels for ractopamine in pork back in 2007. Giordano argues that experts in Taiwan had looked at the additive then and knew it was safe. He says the U.S. sold just $50 million worth of pork to Taiwan last year. He says he's confident that the pork problem will get fixed, saying the NPPC is going to make sure it gets fixed. NPPC has written Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk, and Ag Secretary Dom Vilsack to demand no resumption of annual trade talks with Taiwan until the U.S. gets the same relief for pork as it does for beef. When it comes to the issue of gestation sow stalls, National Pork Producers Council President R.C. Hunt says there's no evidence that a majority of the populace actually supports their prohibition. He says groups like the Humane Society of the United States are trying to convince people that individual sow housing is inhumane and that the sows in gestation stalls suffer, when the truth is, they don't. He notes a number of food companies have been coerced into proclaiming they want their pork supplier to be gestation stall free. But Hunt says the available supply of pork from housing systems other than stalls doesn't match the company pronouncements. University of Missouri ag economist Ron Plain recently found that only 17.3% of the 5.7 million sows in the United States were housed in open pens. The majority of those also spent some time in a gestation stall. Well, the drought just keeps expanding. According to a report issued Thursday, more than 69% of Iowa is now under extreme drought. The area of at least extreme drought is now 94% of Missouri, 81% of Illinois. Adding to the pain of the drought, it turns out July was the hottest month on record for the continental United States. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the period from January to July was the warmest since modern record keeping began in 1895. It was also the warmest 12-month period, marking the fourth time in as many months that U.S. temperatures broke the record. The heat and drought are no doubt taking a toll on the corn and soybean crops as well as livestock producers. As the world talks about fighting climate change, American ag is trying to adapt so that animals and plants can survive and even thrive in intense heat and very little rain. Research has been underway for years to develop cattle that can withstand heat and grow on lower quality forage. Some House Republicans defended the idea of extending the 2008 Farm Bill for a year by saying USDA would not be able to implement a new five-year Farm Bill before farmers make plans for the 2013 crop year and start planning. The USDA Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Ag Services, Michael Skew, says the new computer system at USDA's Farm Service Agency will allow the department to implement the next Farm Bill much faster than previous bills. Speaking at the International Sweetener Symposium, Skews called on Congress to finish a new bill before September 30th, stating that they have the responsibility to enact a farm bill in a timely fashion. Passage by the end of September, he says, will mean farmers can get drought aid quicker. He says a delay could result in an erosion of the baseline that determines how much money is available for farm bill programs. And that is it for Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor & Soap's Tea Room and Gift Shop in Mount Olive.